Well done, Logan. Good stuff. Excellent. So everybody together then. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Yes, well done. Jesus ascended. That's our subject for today. And now we take our hymn books once more and do turn to 201. Guide me, O thy great Jehovah. Okay, so we're looking at Jesus' ascension into heaven. It's a pivotal point in the New Testament. It's a time of change for the first believers. So the first four books of the New Testament are all about Jesus' life here on earth. And Jesus then goes back to heaven. He came as a tiny baby and returned as a man. What happens in between is key to Christianity. The birth, life, death, resurrection of the Messiah Jesus are all necessary events leading to our complete salvation. So what does his ascension mean for us? Why is it significant? What is Jesus doing now? And what comes next in God's timeline? So after the four Gospels with their eyewitness accounts of the life of Jesus, the New Testament gives us more history in the book of Acts. And we go right through there, a lot about Peter and a lot about Paul. We've done that in our recent Bible studies. And then the New Testament switches from the historical account to the correspondence from those first apostles to the early churches. And you have like the Corinthians, the Philippians, and all those other places. A letter was written to the Christians there, and then to some individuals as well. And then, so we see in those books everything that we need to equip us to live as Christians in a fallen world, plus the promises of a wonderful future in the book of Revelation. And as we know, Jesus lived a perfect life, died the death of a criminal, but overcame death 3 days later. And Jesus proved that death had no power over him. He came back to life again. Death is defeated. Hallelujah. Jesus actually solved the problem of sin and the relationship between humanity and a holy God. Jesus was born without inheriting a sinful nature from Adam and Eve. That's why the virgin birth was necessary. Jesus didn't fall into any sin either at any time. He was tempted, but at no point did Jesus give in to those temptations. He remained without any sin. No one else has ever or could ever live in our world and remain untainted by sin, because we are all descendants of Adam, father who fathered our sinful human race. Jesus was put to death, but willingly gave up his spirit, offering to take the punishment of our sin upon himself. And then we know 3 days later, Jesus was alive and talked to his disciples. He spoke with them, ate with them, touched them, and witnessed that Jesus was fully alive in every sense of the word. And so we can come to our first reading. It's a couple of screens, and I would love a reader to help me out. It's Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 53. Thank you, Gerald.
Then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." Then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting his hands to heaven, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. So they worshipped him and then returned to Jerusalem, filled with great joy. And they spent all of their time in the temple praising God.
So So I'd just like us to go through this short reading, verse by verse, a little bit, see what it's saying about. And there we see in verse 44, at the beginning there, Jesus was writing about the Old Testament. Jesus written about in the Old Testament, sorry. He was there in the books of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, Jesus is saying. So we have a quick look at where some of those references are, what they are. And so the books of Moses, well, we can include Genesis in that. And Genesis 3:15, Eve was promised that a male descendant from her line would crush the serpent's head. Now, perhaps this is not so obviously talking about Jesus to begin with, but it becomes clearer in the light of other Bible passages. Satan, the serpent, is desperate to stop Jesus' saving purposes, but he was only able to wound Jesus' heel. Jesus, on the other hand, strikes a decisive blow to the head of Satan and wins completely over evil. And so that was in the books of Moses. The books of the prophets. I know there's obviously loads of references, but just a few here. Isaiah said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." That's Isaiah 9, verse 6. Then we got Isaiah 53, 5 to 7, describes a suffering servant who was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. Andrew Rome's been taking us through that on Sunday evenings. So we could also note Zechariah 9:9. He prophesied that the Messiah would enter Jerusalem in triumph as a crowd shouted Hosanna, what turned out to be Palm Sunday. And then one more in Zechariah 12:10 says, "They will look on me whom they have pierced." So a very clear representation of Jesus there on the cross. So it was in the books of Moses, the prophets, and also the Psalms. And it's surprising how many Psalms you can look to. Psalm 22 is quite a long one, and there's lots of details there. But it details the crucifixions centuries before it happened, even before it was invented. And then there's many other psalms describe the events in the life, death and resurrection and future reign of the Lord Jesus. And so these are only a few of the hundreds of Old Testament verses referencing Jesus. And it's said that there are over 300 direct prophecies regarding Jesus' life, his death and his resurrection, all of which were fulfilled. And so we see prophecy becoming history. We can trust our Bibles. And so it would be quite a long Bible study if we were to look up all these references. So we're not going there. But that was just a few to give you a flavour that to show that Jesus was spoken about in the Old Testament. And then back to Luke 24, we see verse 45, Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. suddenly the grey in their minds turned to multicoloured pictures jumping off the pages of the Old Testament. The penny dropped. The Passover lamb pointed to Jesus. The temple sacrifices pointed to Jesus. They were all pieces coming together, pointing to Jesus. And we can kind of illustrate that a little bit in my little book here. We can imagine this is a Bible. And for a while we can look through the Bible and it's just kind of could be nothing. Nothing there. What's the Bible about, sort of thing. But then, you know, we can put a bit more effort in, perhaps, and we can see, yeah, well, perhaps I can get a bit of an outline of this. It's coming together a little bit. But then Jesus opens our minds to the Bible, like he did for his disciples there, and all of a sudden we're into full color, and it's just amazing what Jesus can do for us when he opens his word to us. And that's what he did with these disciples. Right there at the end of his time on earth. And so verse 47 continues saying, "This message will be declared in the authority of Jesus' name to all nations." So Jesus is not going to be preaching now. He's going to give it to other people with this authority to preach his message. And so that's what we're doing today, isn't it? And we'll continue to do. And the message is, there is forgiveness for sins for those who repent. Central message, we need to recognize that we are sinners. We need to see that Jesus is the Savior and to come to him and ask him forgiveness for our sin. Well, verse 50 says, they all went to Bethany and Jesus blessed them. And then he ascended into heaven. And then what did they do? Verse 53. They didn't just go home and forget about it all, did they? Tell me. They praised God. They went to the temple and they continually praised God all the time. It's a wonderful thought, isn't it? That these disciples, they got to this point and they saw Jesus ascended back into heaven. And they spent their time praising God for what Jesus had taught them and shown them. And we can just go to John chapter 19, verse 30. Should we just say this together? He, Jesus, said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. You see, Jesus' work was done. He came as a baby. He did his work. And he ascended back into heaven, having done his work. It was finished. The work of saving mankind was all dealt with. It was all done. Jesus was prophesied. Jesus came. Jesus saved. And Jesus ascended back to heaven. And so I thought we'd pause here and remember Jesus in the breaking of bread and wine. Okay, so we got another reading now, and it's once more about the Ascension. But this time it's in the book of Acts. And so it's interesting that Luke also, as we know, wrote the book of Acts. And so he repeats this in the beginning of the book of Acts. So it's Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 11. And I wonder if somebody could be a reader for me, please. Brian's looking this way. Thank you, Brian.
So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go."
Thank you very much, Brian. Okay, so Jesus and his disciples have been together for 3 years, but they still weren't always on the same page. The disciples here were asking, you know, "When are you going to kick out the Romans and give us back our kingdom?" That was where their minds were going. And Jesus answered straightforwardly, "It's not for you to know." Straightforward as that. And it just seems that there are some things that actually we do not need to know. We might want to know them. But if the Bible doesn't tell us, it suggests that we don't need to know them. And so we need to relax a little bit on those things where we're struggling. But if God doesn't want us, God has told us everything we need in the Bible. And so sometimes we just don't need to know. But he's just saying, "But you need to be my witnesses, starting here where you are, spreading out all over the earth." You know, we can have dreams of being amazing missionaries or whatever. And we could be thinking of going to Inner Mongolia to spread the gospel, and we can imagine what could happen there, you know. But Jesus says, start where you are, right here, where you are, wherever you might be tomorrow, next day, and the day after. That's where we can start speaking the gospel, being Jesus's witnesses. And then we can go from those places to these other places as well. Jesus was a teacher and his disciples were the apprentices, and graduation day was very, very close. interestingly, the word disciple means follower. And so in the book of Acts, these same men were called apostles. And apostles means sent ones. So they were following Jesus, but Jesus goes back to heaven. And so now Jesus sends them out into the world. And so they graduated from followers to those who were sent to speak the good news. The followers became the leaders. Jesus had handed on the baton. The training was over. The time had now come to do the job for which they had been trained. That can be a time. That can be a bit of a scary time, can't it? You know, we're sucking in all this theory of how to do something, and all of a sudden, we've got to do it ourselves. How's this going to work? How do we do it? But we're okay, because although Jesus is in heaven, he sent us the Holy Spirit to help us, to be with us, to comfort us in all of our dealings. But interestingly, we could think, what is Jesus doing now? You know, is Jesus just retired, having done his job of salvation? I don't think so. Just to begin with, God received Jesus into heaven, and I think that can demonstrate that he's got God's seal of approval, that his work was finished, accomplished, mission done. But his earthly work is finished, but now Jesus is doing a heavenly work. Ephesians 1:20 and Hebrews 1:3 tells us of Jesus' present location, as in he sat at the place of honour at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Philippians 3:21 tells us that Jesus is sat there in a glorified body. And Hebrews 7:25 and Romans 8:34 tells us that Jesus is mediating for all of us believers. 1 Corinthians 15:25 tells us that Jesus is reigning until the time when his enemies will be put under his feet. And Jesus has now sent the Holy Spirit to us so that, well, he is physically in heaven. He can be present with us believers through the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 7, that is. And Matthew 28:20 tells us that Jesus will be with us until the end of the age via the Holy Spirit. Future action. The Bible indicates that he will return in the same way. So Jesus is ascended, but one day he's going to come back again. And we were just chatting outside. There are some days when we really say, yes, Lord, now would be a good time. And it's a wonderful thing to look forward to, the return of Jesus. But John 14, verses 2 and 3 tells us that Jesus is preparing a future home for the believers. And we've got our old memory verse. Should we just say this together? Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14. So Jesus is saying, don't let your heart be troubled. How often are hearts troubled? It can happen a bit too often some days, can't it? Jesus is saying, don't let that happen. I am preparing a place for you in heaven. A place in heaven. Do you know, this amazing world God created in 6 days. Jesus has been preparing a place in heaven for us for kind of 2,000 years. So it's going to be pretty good, isn't it? It's going to be pretty good. How awesome will that be? Hebrews chapter 4 and 14, 15 and 16 goes like this. Could we have a reader actually? Yes, thank you, Angela.
So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. The high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most.
Thank you. Sorry, you get the light in the way, are you? So Jesus is in heaven, where he will give us mercy and grace when we come boldly to him in prayer. So we haven't got to do it on our own. You know, we can come to Jesus in prayer and say, Lord God, I'm really struggling. I need your help right now. And he will give us mercy and grace when we do that. He knows what it's like on earth with all the temptations and the trials. He's been here. He's done that. And yet Jesus didn't sin. So we can hang on in there. We don't have to sin. Sin is a choice. But it's a choice that since the Garden of Eden, we are hardwired to want to do it. But we don't have to. It's a scary thing when we say that sin is a choice, because so often we feel we don't have a choice, but we do. Jesus loves us. He is for us, not against us. So let us hold firmly to our faith, because it will pay off. It really will. Philippians 2:9-11 is another few verses I'd like us to quickly have a listen to. Somebody? Yeah, Ben, thank you.
Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Thank you. Because Jesus finished his work on earth, God exalted him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. And one day, every tongue will declare that Jesus is Lord. And then John 16, verse 7, we could read this together. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. But if I do go away, then I will send him to you. And so Jesus is gone away, but he sent us the Advocate, the Comforter, the Helper, the Guide, the Teacher, the Holy Spirit to be with us. So Jesus is actually saying, it's good for you that I go. It is good for us that Jesus is now in heaven and the Holy Spirit is here with us. So that's an amazing thought on that. So I just want to finish there. It's good for us that Jesus is in heaven and the Holy Spirit is with us. That's good. Remember, it's good. Feel the goodness of God on you today.